Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia welcomes you to our weekly time of worship and study of God's Word with Pastor Jesse Wagoner. So sit back, relax, and get comfortable, because when you're here, you're home.
This time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe, we believe in this broken generation. When all is dark, you help us see. There is only one salvation. We believe, we believe, we believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. We believe. Let our faith be more than anthems, greater than the songs we sing. And in our weakness and temptation, we believe, we believe, we believe in God the Father. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. That the lost be found, and the dead be raised, and the here and now, that love in vain, let the churches live alive, and God will see. We believe, that the gates of hell will not prevail, for the power of God has torn the veil. Now we know. Christ, we believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back. He's coming back again.
We believe in God the Father, we believe in Jesus Christ, and we believe in the Holy Spirit. What a great statement of faith that worship song was, and I hope you enjoyed worshiping along with us. This is Pastor Jesse Wagoner, and I'm so glad that you've joined us for this time of worship and study in the Word of God for this broadcast. I do want to just thank you, as always. You don't know how much it blesses us to know that you are listening and making this a regular part of your life and a regular part of your spiritual development. We'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to interact with you. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to be of help to you. And let me tell you the connection point that's going to make all that possible is to visit our website, and it's simply calvarywv.com. One more time, calvarywv.com. You can learn about who we are as a church. You can, those of us that you hear singing and speaking on this broadcast, you can see our smiling faces. You can get more Bible teaching content, a vast library of Bible teaching materials available for you. You can connect with us. We want to pray for you, pray for your needs, and there's a link right there on the website that could bring us to that point, so we'd love to have that. So for today, special treat for you, Pastor Tim Campbell on our staff. He's our student ministries pastor. He's going to be sharing the Word of God with you today. A little break for me, but you're going to really enjoy this message from the book of Ephesians chapter 1. So stand by for that, and I hope this time in the Word is a real blessing to you.
Well, it's good to be able to be with you all today and to share the Word of God with you. And I want to let you know, I titled this message this morning, Children of the Light. And what's so encouraging about that is once you're a child of the light, you're always a child of the light. And that is a spiritual transaction that takes place in the eyes and in the mind of God, where He applies the blood of Christ to our account. And it's powerful. The Bible says we are translated from being children of darkness to the children of the light. And I just want to take some time today to share with you how important that is to understand that's who we are. And there's a verse in the book of Isaiah, chapter 5, verse 20, that says this, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." And it goes on to say, "That put darkness for light and light for darkness, and bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." And so Isaiah there is kind of hitting the heartbeat of the culture of his day and what he is witnessing taking place in his nation. And I think in a lot of ways we can identify with what we see going on in our culture, where sometimes evil is called good. And we have to realize, like, you know, I don't know if you've ever had that candy. My children try to trick me sometimes when they give it to me. It's called a sour warhead. And you think when you get it, it's going to be sweet. But as soon as you put it in your mouth, it's super sour. It's like eating a lemon. And of course, they get quite the chuckle. But the idea is that I expected something else. And sometimes when we look at our judicial system, or we look at our school system, or we look at these different, you know, parts of our society that don't always do the right thing. And sometimes even the wrong thing is celebrated. And if you think about that, even in the context of life, as believers, we encourage us to witness the miracle of life in the womb, not to interfere with it. And yet sometimes society, if you take that position that that child is a work of God, you are targeted, but sometimes by your employment, sometimes by if you're a professor or a student. And so we have to recognize in society, sometimes being a child of the light means there's a target on your back. And yet, society needs us to shine. And that is something I want to encourage us to do as believers. Paul was commending obedient believers in the book of Romans, and he said these words. After he commended their obedience, he said, "To be wise concerning good and to be simple concerning evil." And the idea is he was telling them to be innocent of doing evil. Don't let that be part of your practice. He even said that they were already obedient, and what he wanted them is to continue to be known for walking with the Lord and to walk with Christ. And so he wanted culture and society, even in his day, to understand that Christians are different. And I find that to be so encouraging because, you know, every time I think about our own situation, I think that we find ourselves encouraged when other believers are doing the right thing. That encourages and strengthens me to do the right thing. And I found that even in the Bible, when I study the concept of light, it sometimes means purity. Sometimes it means understanding or knowledge or clarity, because light brings things into focus. But even on the concept of purity, when I teach the teenagers about purity, I often use this illustration of ice cream. And you might say, well, what does ice cream have to do with purity? But it has to do with the idea, if you've never had ice cream in your life, and I asked you if you wanted some, you probably wouldn't know if you should say yes or not. And you might think ice cream might just be like eating sour cream. And you know, without the taco seasoning, it might not be so good. But until you've had it, you don't know what you're missing. But once you've had your first ice cream cone, you want another. And there comes that craving. And a lot of times, sin is like that. If you give in to indulge to your lust or your sin, you want more of that. And that's why God tells us that relationship between a man and woman is supposed to be in marriage. And so God is protecting our purity. And I tell teens that, don't put yourself in a position to crave the wrong things. But you know what I do want us to do? To crave the right things, to crave more of God. And that takes understanding of God. That takes enlightenment. And Jesus wants to give us that. I remember, when I read that passage in the Old Testament where the church or where Moses was talking to the people of Israel, and he told them that if they got what they requested from God, that he would send leanness into their souls. And so they got their lust, but they had less of God. And I thought that was such a tragic verse. And I think so often that, in life, there's a lot of people in this world that don't even know how much of God they're missing. That God wants to reveal himself, that he wants to show more of himself to them, and they're missing it. And I remember when I was a teenager, I would go to church out of obligation. Most of the time, I had my parents kind of say, it's time to get ready, time to go, and I just drug my feet. And then when I got to church, I thought, as teenagers, we sat out in the auditorium for the main service. And I used to think that my preacher was the most boring preacher in the whole world. And I remember just trying so hard to stay awake for the sermon and knowing that if I didn't stay awake, I would get a lecture on the way home. And then I remember just after I surrendered to Christ and I admitted how much I needed him in my life and that I wanted him to lead me, that next time, after I made that decision, that next Sunday, I went to service and I was wanting to be there. And something was different in me. When my pastor was preaching, I started taking notes. I was learning things I had never learned before. My eyes were open to the truth of God's word. And it was filling my soul. And I just remember how funny it was that I thought that I had the dullest preacher in the world, and overnight he became the sharpest. And it really shows it had nothing to do with his preaching. It had everything to do with my heart and my desire for God. And once that changed, I began to learn all kinds of new things. And so that's been my prayer for our teenagers here at Mount Calvary Baptist Church. I want them to hunger for God. I want them to thirst for God. I want them to realize that God wants to reveal himself to them. And so our key verse for our teenager, for our youth group, is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 through 19. And I want to read those verses to you. It actually starts in verse 16, gives a little bit of a background. It says that, I do not cease to give thanks and to pray for you. And so what he says in verse 16 is, I pray for you constantly. Now, what is the Apostle Paul's prayer for the church at Ephesus? And this is my prayer for our teenagers here at our church. He says that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. And I love the way he concludes this. He says, and what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? Now, I don't want teenagers to not know the power of God. I don't want them to not know this great revealing. He says this wisdom and revelation. Revelation means a revealing. I want the teenagers to have a greater clarity of God. And that's what Paul prayed for the saints at Ephesus. And he knew that God would give them this understanding. And so I just think of how often, we go through life and we get so much less of God than what he wants to give. And I just really want to see that change in my life and in the life of our teens. And I think about some verses, scripture come to mind when I think of this idea of light and understanding. The teenagers have this expression. They call it being woke. And usually when they use that expression of being woke, they're referencing it especially this idea of self-actualization or self-realization. Like all of a sudden you come to your senses and now you know something you didn't know before. Well, the Bible actually has an expression similar to that that came way before the teenagers coined that phrase. It's a couple of verses. One of them found in Romans chapter 13, verse 11 says, "And that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." That as we journey with Christ in this life, we have to realize that as each day passes, that's one more day that we're closer to heaven. And we want to make as much of an impact here on earth as we can in the time that we're given. We want to be good stewards of our salvation. And he says it's time to wake up and realize that this is your opportunity to serve Christ. Now another verse, 1 Corinthians 15:34 says, "Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God." And then he says, "I speak this to your shame." You know, this is a time where God has revealed himself. He has given us his written revelation. God has given us his spirit so we can understand his revelation. And so this is a time where we can get to know God. And he says, "Awake to righteousness." You know, stop choosing and craving the wrong things and start craving the right things. Another verse, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, he says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee the light." And so he uses the same idea of waking up, and this is waking up spiritually. But then he says, because Christ wants to give thee the light, he wants to give you understanding. And that's something that we should want for ourselves. I think so much of what Christ teaches us sometimes falls on deaf ears. And that's a tragedy because our society so much needs to know what is right from what is wrong. And I remember my dad as a baseball coach. My dad was such a good baseball coach. He had won championships and tournaments, and he was good at spotting talent and athleticism, but he was also good of knowing where to put players in what positions where they would be the most effective. And even if like a pitcher partway through the game had to come out because his arm was sore, my dad would rearrange the whole field, move the players all around to make sure that he still optimized our potential to win. And, you know, a lot of times when kids have a coach or somebody, an adult is trying to tell them how to do something, we already think we've figured it out or that our way is better. And there were players like that on our teams over the years that my dad would try to help their hitting, and they would just ignore his lessons, and they would continue to struggle with their batting average. I remember my dad giving me some tips on how to hit and why I wasn't driving the ball better. And I remember as I applied those lessons, I became a better player. And from week to week, I could see my batting average climbing. And so I knew that my dad knew what he was talking about. And I just wish that we would treat God in the same way. Take his word and apply it to your life. And you'll start to see with your own eyes, you know, how God understands us and how he understands our world. And he knows our needs better than we know them. And so we start to apply what God says. We start to see what a difference it can make. And how much more our life can improve, especially spiritually in relationship to him. And I always think of, you know, teenagers go through different phases. Sometimes they go through this phase where they think they know everything and they say, I know. And then other times they're just full of questions and they want all the answers. And they want all the answers right now. But there is something special about discovery and learning. And the more you learn, the more excited you are to learn. And knowledge is life-changing. And the knowledge of God is even more so because it's affirming and reassuring. The more we know God, the more we're at peace. The more that we have confidence. The more that we have joy. And so often I see teenagers struggling with needing affirmation and struggling with self-esteem. And yet there is God who gave his very life so they could live with him forever in heaven. There is somebody who can affirm them far more than any of us could. And that's a knowledge that I want them to obtain. You know, when I was, you know, you see this sometimes with children. They want to win an argument through their emotions. And if they're mad, they want you to be mad. And sometimes they're mad at the wrong things. And they want to, you know, I've noticed one time my daughter came home from school and she was siding with this child that got in trouble at school. And the child deserved to be in trouble. As I heard the story, the more I understood the school administrator and why the child was in trouble. But the child came to my daughter upset, angry, and crying. And so my daughter just sided with her, even though what the girl did was wrong and deserved to be punished. But my daughter just wanted to make her friend feel better. And she just went along with, you know, my daughter was mad at the administrator because her friend was sad. Well, that wasn't really the right position. And I understand my daughter is very empathetic and I love that about her. But still, that's not the way to win an argument. It's just because you're upset. And yet sometimes society, I see even adults, that they're making decisions only based on their emotions and not intellect and not knowledge and certainly not the knowledge of God. And the sad thing is the Bible even tells us in the book of Daniel that the earth will increase with knowledge in the last days. And we see that as we pick up our phones and we talk to somebody on the other side of the world. We have increased in knowledge. But as the last days approach, there's a lack of the knowledge of God. And that's where we as parents who are believers, who are children of light, need to really take notice. Do our kids hunger the things of God? Are we taking opportunities when we have them to introduce our children to the concepts and ideas that God has revealed about himself? And there are opportunities like that all the time. You know, just driving down the road, my child will sometimes say something and it will trigger an opportunity for me to say, do you know there's a verse in the Bible that talks about that? And it just helps them to understand that knowledge of God is available. And that's what the world needs more of. The word enlightened is in this passage of Scripture. I'll read it again. And as Paul prays for the church at Ephesus, he even encourages them. He says he wants them to grow in wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of God. But he also says that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Now, that word enlightened comes from two Latin words that are put together. And the Latin words means into the light. And so this idea, it's kind of a prefix, and it's the word in and lux, into the light. And it just makes me think of clarity, of course. And have you ever went from a dark room and you flip the light switch and all of a sudden you can see where you're going? And if you've ever walked through a dark room and tried to get to somewhere and you stubbed your toe because you couldn't see that there was something in front of your path. But what I've thought of when I thought of this word enlightened was sometimes my dad would take me fishing on a boat in the middle of the lake and it would be really early before sunrise. And even as the sun began to come up, the fog on the lake was so thick that you couldn't even see the end of your rod tip. You were just waiting for the sun to rise just to even see where you wanted to cast your line. But as the sun continued to rise, the clarity of the lake, I could see from one side of the lake to the other. And I think of that in the Word of God. We go through life, and without the knowledge of God, everything is dim. Everything we're just grasping. And we're not fully seeing who we are. We're not fully seeing how God sees other people. And that's partially why we don't serve them better. And we're not seeing God for who he is. And so I just think so often that here we are in this cloud or this fog, and God says, I want to bring you into the light. And he does that through his knowledge, the knowledge of Christ. And so if we don't know God as our Savior, we're still in darkness. And I want to share a verse with you from John chapter 1, verse 4. And this is an interesting verse about our world. It's talking about Jesus, and it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind." Jesus is the light of the world, the light of mankind. But then he says, "And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not." And the idea, that word comprehendeth, is kind of a strange word that we don't use most of the time in our vocabulary. But the idea of that is the darkness could not snuff out the light. The darkness can't put out Christ. Christ is shining. Christ is the light of the world. And Christ is what our world needs. And did the world try to put out the light of Christ? Of course. Through this crucifixion, they wanted Jesus to leave. That's because men love darkness. Right? Like, once we crave sin, we want God to let us alone and let us just keep on sinning. And yet, Jesus comes in to show us a better way and to give us forgiveness for our sins. And so the world tried to put out Jesus, and it didn't work. And as you can see, Jesus still shines to the ends of the earth. And so I think of that verse, of this idea, them trying to put out the candle, and it's still shining. I don't know if you've ever been tricked with those trick birthday candles, and you blow on them, and they just keep coming back, and no matter how many times you try to blow it out, it keeps coming back. And God says to us, who have been transformed, to walk in the light as he is in the light. In other words, we should be like those candles that the world can't put out. And that's who our children need to see. And yes, are we going to be targeted because we call evil evil? Yes, we will. And yet, that should not stop us, because the world so much needs to see Christ in us. And I thought of this verse. This is another verse from Psalm chapter 18, verse 28. It says, "For thou wilt light my candle, my Lord." And then he says, "My God will enlighten my darkness." You see, we don't have to walk in darkness anymore. We are the children of the light. We can live our lives with understanding of who we are, who God has made us to be, what God's plan is for us. And we can share that with others. And I know I said this already earlier in this message, that sometimes we see society worshiping at the feet of science. And science has created lots of advancements. And I think science backward engineers everything God has made, because we study stuff that's already here and then create new stuff from it. But I do think that where science falls short is when it comes to death. Science has no answer for the grave. And even if they come up with something to extend your life, it's still limited. And the real answer to death is Jesus. Spiritual life is found in him and nowhere else. And so whenever we think of what society offers through the knowledge that they've obtained by studying creation, yes, it's wonderful, but it meets the needs of the physical. We need Christ to meet the needs of the spiritual. And your children need to have their soul fed. They need to learn what God wants to reveal. And so I hope that we answer that calling. Because right in that verse of our theme verse for our teen group, it says, "And that we might know the hope of his calling and what is the riches of our inheritance." You know, that's what we need to feed our soul. And I just hate to think that we who have the Word of God are allowing our children to go with leanness and the most important part of them. So let's make a commitment that we're going to grow in the knowledge of God.
Thank you for joining us for this time of worship and study brought to you by Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia. If you are in the Charleston area, we would love for you to worship with us in person. For service times and more information, visit our website, calvarywv.com. Until next time, may His blessing be yours.